This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Bogus sitting in for Maggie Gray. Appears like we've lost Bogues.
He's in Uzbekistan now.
Bogus is obsessed with the chairs in our office today. We've had what we call chair gate around here, an equipment malfunction that's been going on for 2 weeks. I've stayed out of the fray, but Bogues has been at war with his coworkers about his chair. And now he's coming back.
He was just something.
Yeah, he was asking for a screwdriver, which is never a good sign. Did you break something involved
broke
with the radio or your computer or the chair? What's going on?
I broke a fingernail.
Oh, no.
And I broke, I didn't break, but I got something stuck in the mixing board in our alternate studio.
All of this just happen?
Yeah.
You were just on the air 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, I went to the other room to record my Sports Minute, and I plugged my headphones in. And my headphones have a detachable jack to make it fit the input. And when I took the headphone out, just my headphones came out. The jack is still in the thing, so I was trying to get it out with my hand, which is how I broke my fingernail. Then that led me to ask for a scissor, a screwdriver, something strong and sharp that's not my fingernail to dig the jack out of the machine.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
But now you have different headphones.
I do. I have my usual headphones on now, yeah.
And does the fingernail hurt?
It doesn't hurt, but it's going to, like, it's broken, but not, like, separated. So when I cut off the broken part, I'm probably going to have some, like, exposed
the worst
cuticle or whatever.
I hate that. I hate breaking fingernails. It's happened to me before. It can be really painful when it's exposed. So that was not
actually, it does hurt. Can I go home? How does that work?
Yeah. That was not a good break. That's some clunky.
My minute's in, though.
Yeah, good. I've had some clunky moments. What was your minute on?
This is sneakily my favorite sports week of the year.
Oh, because I know the Masters.
We got the Masters. You've got new baseball still. The season's still new. You've got NBA, NHL regular seasons winding down. The Frozen Four was last night. This weekend for me is the transition into spring. The Masters weekend, we're coming off the Final Four. Again, baseball season got games in the sun, and it's been cold this week in New York, so we needed it. This makes me feel like we're turning a corner.
Okay.
And that we're now in spring, which means summer's almost here.
We've had this argument on the show before. Anybody who thinks that spring sports, NBC, when I worked there, called it championship season.
Yes. I think they still do, don't
they? Yeah. Anybody who thinks spring sports are better than September are out of their mind.
Hi.
How's it going?
Boo this man.
Boo.
Oh. There is nothing like September when football starts and others baseball is still going on. It is the greatest feeling in the world. I like this week, and I understand what you're saying, but you're telling me it's as good as that first weekend when you get Thursday night college football, sometimes Friday night college football, Saturday all day on the couch, Sunday all day on the couch, and primetime games are exhausting. You can't go anymore, but then there's another football game. That is the best.
The first 3 weeks of the NFL season, the first 5 weeks of the NFL season is still just carryover of the preseason that they haven't really been able to get fully.
Those games stink.
The first five games of the NFL season stink. It's like glorified preseason games.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
You watch these games?
Yes. No, you know what? Yeah. I usually don't start watching until October.
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly it sounds like it because the way you're talking, I mean, we had the Chiefs 2 years in a row in those first games of the year. Those are always sloppy, not exciting games. They're not fun.
You're crazy.
Football don't start until November.
You're crazy, but you're not explaining why those games are good.
Because the NFL season, I don't need to explain it. It's so obvious that obviously the best time of year is when football starts again.
You don't remember anything that happened in those games. That's why you're not saying anything.
I remember very well that I remember the Eagles beat the Packers 34-29 Friday night in Brazil.
Yeah, you hated that. You were like, they're in Brazil. This game was sloppy. There's all these turnovers. The field is terrible. This was a bad thing for the NFL. We did all this.
He's just a mark, guys. Oh, football's back. Yeah, life is better now.
No.
I got games.
What is the matter with you guys? Are you guys being serious right now? You don't think that the return to football is the greatest week of the year?
It's number two.
Actually.
It's number two.
Yeah.
As for me, I see with Bogus, I did this on a show a couple of weeks ago. I think the start of March Madness is the beginning of what is the best time of the year, which is this March to April thing.
Yeah.
Where it's March Madness, then opening day, and then as soon as that Final Four, and then as soon as that's over, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs begin. I think that's the best time of the year. I think that the fall is second. I think it's great, but I prefer this time. Masters as well. You got it's a great time.
Totally disagree, especially in the fall when you got all four sports going in late October.
Yeah, but we're going in the wrong direction too in the fall. School is back in. Yep. You know the cold's coming.
I feel like
salient points. Thank you.
Everything is better when football is back. I don't know why.
I'm a more varied guy than that. We have more experienced tastes over here.
How are we going to word the poll here, EJ?
What is the best time of the sports year, spring or fall?
Okay, go to @Maggie and Pearl on X. I feel strongly about the fall. I feel like that's when you say sports is on, you're talking about the fall. It is the season. I know TV people feel the same way, but especially this fall, because you know what we're going to see? We're going to see Joe Flacco,
yeah,
in a Browns uniform. I'm actually fascinated by this because Flacco balled out just 2 years ago. I know he's 40, but he could
Joe
never move.
Joe Flacco?
He's like me. He had no athleticism when he was young. He's the exact same guy at 40 as he was at 28. Still got the big arm. You know what's funny about the Browns? You look at their roster, and I know the Deshaun Watson thing has not worked out at all, but they do have, there's definitely talented players. Now, are there enough of them? Can they stay healthy? I have no idea. You're going to probably draft Travis Hunter at number two. I hope you play him both ways. Then immediately you upgrade definitely the offense because I think that's going to be the primary position for Cleveland. I think they'd be foolish not to put him in every play. He's unbelievable at receiver. And then use him in packages on defense if you want or use him every play. He's going to be fine. Yes, Myles Garrett is still there. David Njoku stepped up as a star. They have veteran linemen. There's a lot of good things going on. They have a really good coach at Kevin Stefanski. Yes. Are they a Super Bowl contender? No way. Can they be a 10-win team again like they were 2 years ago? Possible.
Are they still right now with Joe Flacco the worst team in their division?
You have no idea what is happening with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Is Trey Hendrickson there?
Doesn't appear that he's going to be.
I think he might be. Who's the quarterback in Pittsburgh?
Well, you like Mason Rudolph. You had them winning 10 games with Mason Rudolph. You're just giving away 10-win seasons this morning.
I do think Baltimore is going to be fantastic next year, but I do think this division is going to be probably the worst it's been in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I don't mind them signing Joe Flacco. And I guess I didn't mind the Giants signing Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. And I can't not detach these decisions from Shedeur Sanders.
Yep.
Like, this is, again, further confirmation that teams are lukewarm on Shedeur. Because these two teams, if they liked him, they'd be fighting for that second pick. And and one of them would take him and be super happy about it. Instead, they have signed old retread quarterbacks with limited ceilings to give themselves a way to not pick Shedeur.
Well, like him. I mean, they might like him, but number two overall like him. I think
yeah.
I keep saying this. I think we're looking at kind of a Kirk Cousins-like quarterback. really good, could throw for 4,200 yards and 30 touchdowns, but I'm not sure they see the upside. I think it's because he's not a big guy. He has a very good arm, but not a killer arm. He's good at things like anticipation, and he goes through his progressions well. So he's good, not great. And do you do that at number two when you have needs all over?
Yeah, and and at first I would go, well, if you like him at 21, just take him at 2 and be done with it. But I understand as well the idea of, well, why don't I try to get more assets out of it? But when you do that, when you pass on him when you're on the clock at 2 or 3, it means to me that you're okay with not getting him at all.
Yeah, like, I think they are.
And again, I think that to me that's a negative about him. Like, you were able to pass over him.
You're passing over him for a generational player in Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter.
Yeah, but I think the metric still tells you to take a quarterback in this situation, and it appears that they're both not going to take the quarterback. Giants desperately need one.
Well, we had Ryan Wilson on from CBS Sports HQ last hour. He did mention the opportunity cost of taking quarterback means you're not in next year's quarterback draft. That's what happened to the Steelers. They took Kenny Pickett, and they boxed themselves out of future and drafts. I'm not sure next year's draft class is going to be so great, because I have a theory that Arch Manning's going back to school. In 2 years, it's going to be a ridiculous quarterback draft. You have DJ Lagway, Dylan Raiola, maybe Arch.
So you're shifting me now to 2027.
Yeah. Yes.
You're asking me to sit tight as a Giant fan in my Kerry Collins jersey until 2027 now?
Well, I think the Giants could convince Arch to come out. We'll see. You know, you never know with next year's quarterback class. It'll probably be better than this year's. This year's is thin. There's no doubt about it.
Bogus, you know the Eagles fan in him. In 2 years from now, he's going to be saying, wait until the 2029 draft class.
Yes.
That's the draft class you really want.
Well, I got to tell you, a lot of people who follow the Eagles and did not love Kenny Pickett there. He did not have a great run in preseason. He looked worse than Tanner McKee. So I was curious. why are you laughing at that?
No, I thought you were going to double down on your projection and go, a lot of people tell me the high school juniors are really good right now.
Oh, yeah.
So that 2030 draft class is the one you want to target.
I was actually getting to Kenny Pickett. So Kenny Pickett almost lost his job to Tanner McKee. The Browns now have Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. I don't think Pickett has a chance to win that job. I think it's going to be Flacco. We'll see. Maybe Kevin Stefanski finds lightning in a bottle. What if they do this? Draft Travis Hunter number 2. They have the first pick in the second round. Get Travion Henderson out of Ohio State. Then I'm giving you a skill position group. Jerry Jeudy and Travis Hunter, wide receiver. David Njoku, tight end. And how about Travion Henderson, who is going to be a screen pass monster at running back with Kevin Stefanski as a head coach. Lot of experience on the offensive line. They never are healthy, but if those guys stay healthy, can you squint and see a very good offense?
Yeah, so they are certainly staying with the comparison. They seem to me to be closer to being a good team than the Giants do. And again, that might just be my Giants fatigue and backlash and angst.
Yep.
But I see your point. And they were surprisingly bad last year. So Flacco does give them a boost. I just am not completely sold yet on how big of a boost it is, but that would be a nice draft haul to come home with.
Yeah, I think I'm going against the grain a little bit by saying Joe Flacco is going to ball out here. He is 40. I don't think a lot of people are going to be high on the Browns. I'm sure their win total with Flacco would be 6.5.
Yeah, and that might still be an over bet because they could win 8.
Yeah, because they have before, because we've seen it before. I've got to tell you, Myles Garrett alone wins you a bunch of games. When he gets hot in a game, he can, and we saw it last year, even a game or two that he won. So Cleveland, not going to draft a quarterback. It looks like they signed Joe Flacco. Your Giants sit at number 3. Is there any doubt they're taking Abdul Carter? They've now met with him 4 times. His foot got a passing grade. At least that's what his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, says. So it looks like we're going Cam Ward 1 to the Titans, Travis Hunter 2 to the Browns, Abdul Carter 3 to the Giants.
Yeah, and I said to you guys last night, like, I like this draft for the Shador intrigue, and it's still there, but it feels a little less intriguey this morning because I feel like we've landed on the Browns not taking him.
It's not a great draft. It's just not.
It's not a flashy draft after, like, you know, Travis Hunter's flashy. There's no doubt about that. And if Cam Ward is as good as some people say he is, then that's a flashy pick for the Titans. But after that, we don't have a ton of super stud wide receivers and stuff like that. So I get that. Apparently it's a deep draft. It's a good draft into the fourth round. You're going to get really talented players. But to me, the Browns and the Giants, and then what happens at four after what they do at 2 and 3, like that is, that's a little juicier than sometimes we get in these drafts.
Well, here's the problem with the draft. The great positions are, everyone says the defensive line is deeper than ever. Todd McShay predicts it'll be the heaviest first three rounds of defensive linemen in the history of the draft. Running back is really deep, and tight end is really deep.
Yeah.
What are the two positions that you not want to use a high pick on? Because
all of the ones that you just mentioned.
Because running back's one of the cheapest positions on offense. It is the cheapest position. Tight end is the other cheap position. So you get those guys in the first round, and you're paying a premium rate for a young tight end. It doesn't make any sense. This is a Daniel Jeremiah theory. Why would you draft a tight end at number 5, like Tyler Warren, who's fantastic, out of Penn State? Then automatically, he's about the 4th highest paid tight end in the NFL. You get no rookie salary cap benefit out of that.
But I believe then the follow-up argument is tight ends don't get huge second contracts. So you're not, if you're getting him past that, then you're not also paying him like he's a wide receiver. He's not getting Justin Jefferson money on the back end of his cheap rookie deal.
That is next level thinking.
Because
you're playing chess, I'm playing checkers.
McBride, who was not a first round pick, but he's just got what, 43 mil guaranteed. Like even Kelsey's deals have never been astronomical.
Yeah, first round tight ends are a disaster though. They have very, very bad history.
Yeah, I just go back to what we said before about like I just want good players. Like I just want good players, and I'll figure out how to use them in my system. Like I'll be malleable, and I'll figure out whether put them here, put them there. I want good players.
I don't think that's the right approach.
I don't think best player available is the way to go?
It is the way to go. I think you need a plan. I think the great teams build their teams in certain ways. They just go heavy on the offensive and defensive line. They, I'm sure when the Eagles were drafting offensive linemen, there were other skill position players and good players around, but they're like, we have to make our trenches strong. I think it's more of a holistic plan. It's not just the best player available. I think you go into drafts to be like, I want to build this team to be strong up front to support this.
And I don't mean you should leave a draft with 5 safeties and a guard because that's who is like the best guy on the thing. But like if Tyler Warren, if I think he's going to be Travis Kelce, I'm taking him at 6.
Okay.
And I'll figure out my offensive line the next time I'm on the clock.
So EJ is a New York Jets fan, and they actually might have this exact same issue. They pick at number 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you want... Tyler Warren could be a star, and he's flashy. And maybe the Jets with Justin Fields, the quarterback, could use some flash. Mm. Would you rather go flash there, or would you rather go offensive lineman, boring, second year in a row? Boring, but in my opinion, what the smart teams do.
I go line. I think you're right. I mean, I think, and I love Tyler Warren. I know I've talked about him a bunch on this show, but when you're the Jets, I think the problem is when you're certain teams like the Jets or the Raiders last year, they took Brock Bowers. Like, I don't think they regret it per se because he is a great player, but it just feels like adding that guy, you might not maximize his value because your team is still so far away. So with the Jets, I just think they're starting at 0 if you don't have an offensive line, which they don't. Like they have a decent left tackle and they have a decent guard, and then that's kind of it. So you got to build the offensive line. What's the point of having Warren if Fields can't get him the ball? So I would go Membu.
By the way, I'm sorry, Trey McBride was a second round pick. I screwed that up, but he was not a first round pick. The high picks at tight end are obviously Kyle Pitts, who got caught up in the bad offense, and TJ Hockenson, who didn't work out in Detroit. They moved on, and you go through the top 10 tight ends have never really worked out that well.
Although Bowers was special.
13,
and LaPorta was 16?
LaPorta was second round. Yeah.
Why do you think it was middle of the first? Okay.
All the great ones were most of them were second round. Eric Ebron was number 10 to the Lions in 2014. Yeah. Was Evan Ingram a late first rounder?
I believe he was
a first rounder. Yeah,
he was not good.
I was at that draft in Philadelphia. That was a Philadelphia draft.
Sorry, what were you gonna say, Bogues, about the tight end?
I mean, his history says you're right and I'm wrong.
Yeah, I have a good buddy who is one. He has one draft commandment: don't draft a tight end high.
is he in position to make picks?
No. He's in the media.
Okay.
And it's kind of like, I don't know if you're going to win a Super Bowl with that philosophy, because there's a lot more to building a team than, just avoiding tight ends.
Right.
Vernon Davis, number 6 overall. That worked out for the Niners a little bit. But the problem is you have to pay them. Kellen Winslow, number 6 to the Browns. How'd that work out? I don't remember.
Well, it didn't end well.
I'm just kidding. It didn't start well or end well. That guy was off his rocker. Jeremy Shockey, the Giants. That was pretty cool for about 2 years.
Yeah, he was a very good player.
Yeah, he was. That's my forever Giant tight end.
This is a big tight end. There are people who think this is one of the great tight end classes of all time. But, again, I think you have to be careful. There are also people who think Tyler Warren's the second-best tight end in this class. I'm not kidding, EJ. There are Colston Loveland fans who think he's going to be a better receiver than Tyler Warren.
Some people like Jace Taylor, too.
Yeah, and your guy from Miami,
and Elijah
too.
Arroyo, yeah.
It's a good tight end class, so we'll see. I don't know if that makes for an exciting draft. I think Travis Hunter's pretty exciting at number two. I'm gonna watch this thing. Question for anyone out there, we're doing bucket list events, bucket list sporting events. Do you think the NFL draft is a bucket list event, going to it in person, especially this year at Lambeau?
One of my best friends from college, that was his bucket list thing, and that's why we went to the draft in Philadelphia, because he's a huge Eagles fan. He said, the draft is in Philadelphia, let's go. So we took the long trip from Buffalo to Philadelphia. So I know one dude who has the draft as a bucket list thing.
I always wanted to go when it was at Radio City as a New Yorker.
Yeah,
never made it. To go. No, my parents never, they both worked weekends. It just never worked out. I was a kid.
Yeah, I wanted to go, and then I went to the one where the Texans took David Carr. And we knew
dinosaur.
We knew he was the pick, and the entire 20 minutes still went off the clock. And I was like, I'm never doing this again.
That was a bad era. When they were signing contracts to guys that weren't drafted yet, that was not fun.
And letting the entire time to make the pick run off the clock.
That was ridiculous.
So was that at the Paramount?
Or no, that was still Radio City.
No, but they used to do it at a different building in New York in 2001. You sure it was Radio City?
I'm pretty sure it was not the small theater. It used to be the Garden. It used to be called the Felt Forum, right?
Now yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was at Radio City.
Okay.
It feels like a Radio City one, yeah.
Okay.
By the way, I did get it wrong earlier. It was Carlton Fisk when I was there for Hall of Fame weekend, but it was 2000, not 2002.
Oh, kind of like
so
I
could be wrong on the David Carr draft. I'm pretty sure
Pearl's also right on this. This was at the theater.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
The theater at Madison Square Garden.
All right.
They didn't move to Radio City until much later, I don't think. And I've been to a lot of the New York drafts. That Philadelphia draft. Everyone was all excited. I think the Eagles took Derek Barnett.
They did take Barnett that draft.
But we want to hear your bucket list. Is the NFL draft? Is it the Masters? Is it the World Cup? Is it Wrigley or Fenway? Give us a call, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, Bogus is so fired up about our next topic. I think you've mentioned it all morning long. You spent most of last night listening to this interview. It is fascinating. There is a stat that is possible coming out of this interview that will absolutely blow your mind if you're a baseball fan. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show. This MLS game preview is sponsored by Lowe's. Members get more with MyLowe's Rewards. Don't wait. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Manny, what do we got on the docket this weekend?
Perloff, no aggregate needed on Sunday afternoon, 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central Time. Lionel Messi, he will step foot on the pitch of Soldier Field as Inter Miami travels to the Windy City to take on the Chicago Fire. Miami currently sits second in the Eastern Conference, a point below the Columbus Crew with one less game played, and is coming off a thrilling comeback in the CONCACAF Champions Cup over LAFC. The Fire, they're seventh in the East with 11 points. They fell to the Red Bulls last Sunday, 2-1. Inter Miami, Chicago Fire, Sunday, 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central.
Got to be honest, seeing Messi live, that'd be a little bit of a bucket list thing. It's a little tricky because you never know in MLS if he's actually going to play. Is anybody who's put that on? I don't know who's a big Messi fan here. But
That's my GOAT. That's the best player that has ever played.
Have you made any efforts to see him over here?
Not a single one, because I know that with the way that my bank account works and the way that the ticket prices works, it doesn't really mesh.
Yeah.
And he also hasn't played in this area yet. Inter Miami, like whenever he plays the Red Bulls or NYCFC, it's usually down in Miami.
So it's interesting. We were talking about bucket lists in Augusta all day. To see one player, can that be a bucket list? I've seen LeBron play live. That's amazing. Yeah. I've seen Jordan play live. I've seen Steph play live a few times.
One venue that I would love to go to, Camp Nou in Barcelona, where Barcelona plays. Ooh. That's really fun. They're expanding it to 105,000 people.
I'm going to go to Old Trafford.
Oh, that's a good one, too. Yeah. Manchester.
EJ, is there any player you haven't gotten to see that you want to see?
All of them.
I saw Steph. I've never seen LeBron. I'm not, like, clamoring, but I would want to see him before he retires.
I saw him. That's special.
I don't think so. Steph was the guy. Like, I flew to L.A. to see him.
I remember when I was a kid, seeing a young Shaq live was crazy. That was because it was way different than anything you've ever seen.
NBA is the one I've seen almost everybody I'd want to in baseball and hockey, but the NBA I'm very far behind. Especially guys now. Like I haven't seen LeBron or Steph in person.
Steph is amazing.
I saw Jordan in person. It was a crappy Jordan Knicks game, but I saw him.
Yeah, I saw Jordan.
Was he watching it or
no? No, he's a Bull.
Yeah, I've seen him.
The Knicks crushed him in that random game at the end of the year. I think I know what you're talking about. If it was a bad game.
I mean, I was like 9 or 10. It was a long time ago.
Oh, that was early then.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you one guy a lot of people would want to see, Shohei Ohtani. He belongs on. He's a guy I would definitely want to see, and I want to see him pitch. But Andrew Bogus is very excited about this story because it's really interesting. Apparently, pitching might not be the best thing for him. Bogus, give us a backstory here.
This blew my mind. You and I both know Pablo Torre. Maggie knows him as well. Doing a fantastic podcast. It wins awards on all these short lists for best podcasts. Pablo Torre finds out. The newest episode is with Dr. Tom House. I think most people, a lot of people listening will know that name. He is a pitching, throwing guru. And he sat down with Pablo, I think it's 45 minutes of just talking shop, basically, about Tom's life. Tom caught Hank Aaron's 715th home run in the Braves, in the bullpen. So that's where he starts baseball history. And then as a player, didn't really pan out for him too well, but he knew what he was doing, was one of the first people to kind of dive into the science of throwing a baseball, then a football. Yep. So in this long conversation, multiple topics, we get Tom House breaking down Shohei Ohtani as a hitter and a pitcher.
I'm going to say this with, I hope I'm wrong, I don't think his shoulders can handle it.
Yeah, so Bogues, why can't Shohei's shoulders handle this?
I think we have more from Tom, so he can explain it and not my doofus brain.
It's a combination of a bunch of stuff. Primarily the thresholds with heavyweight training are really good for hitting, but not good for pitching. And the everyday stresses of throwing down a hill, when you generate energy on flat ground, the most you can get out of flat ground is about 4 times body weight and foot-pounds of energy. When you're going down the mound, you get about 6 times body weight. I don't think his shoulders can handle that, the deceleration.
So a couple of disclaimers here. If you're going to go listen to this whole thing, in a minute, there is a lot of science in here. There's a lot of big words, a lot of things I've never heard of before. So at times it's a little confusing and to understand what is all going on in different conversations and what Tom is talking
pretty nerdy.
About. Like even Pablo one time had to like look up a word that he had just said to confirm what he knew, that if he knew the word or not. So there's a lot of heavy lifting in this. But I think the point with Shohei, and I thought of you right away because you have said this more than once on the show, is that Shohei's body to be Shohei the hitter put Shohei's body, the pitcher, in danger because he wouldn't be shaped the way he is, so to speak, if he was just a pitcher. So for him to get in shape to be his max hitting potential makes his body go through too much stress when he's pitching, and it might break down, and then when he can't play, we miss out on both parts of him.
I don't need Tom House to tell me that. I'm not an idiot. Every pitcher breaks down, even the ones who aren't hitting every day.
Right.
Of course he's going to break down.
But see, but you were looking at it from a general thought of he has elbow problems.
Every pitcher has elbow problems. Yeah.
But Tom's argument is that specifically, I think I'm simplifying this correctly, is that he's too big to pitch long term because his body is under extra stress because of how strong and muscular he is.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's already won 3 MVPs primarily as a hitter, so he doesn't need the pitching to be an MVP. So what else? You're already the most valuable player. Why risk it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that if he decides to only do one that he like devalues that contract or all of a sudden it's even more of an overpay by the Dodgers. But I just straight up, I like being amazed by him hitting for 4 days and pitching for a fifth.
Me too. It is cool. But can I tell you about another player who faced a similar situation?
Luka Doncic.
You ever heard of George Herman Babe Ruth?
I've heard a thing or two about
him.
Jason Kidd told me once about him.
Ohtani's kind of the modern Babe Ruth. He is by far the most consistent best hitter. Now, you have Aaron Judge too, but I feel like Judge talking about breaking down. The other thing in this Tom House interview that I'm fascinated by, what's this about a super fastball he's working on?
Up until yesterday, I swore that the medical community had told us, had decided that we were basically at the max potential of velocity, like 104, 105, 106.
Sure.
Like that is basically the most an arm can do. And then Tom House dropped this yesterday.
We know the human arm can go 118 miles an hour. I've done it a bunch of times with pitchers. Can they do it for a game, a season, an inning, whatever? Haven't figured out how yet.
The ceiling, though, is 118.
Maybe not an everyday pitcher, but it's possible.
118?
Yeah.
118?
Sometimes I crank up the softball pitching machine to 60, and it's a way out. I don't think I could do 118.
Is the dude's arm going to go with the ball to home plate?
Doesn't sound sustainable.
And I think I went back and listened to that section like three or four times. I think he's saying that someone already has thrown in front of him somewhere near 118. They just can't do it consistently, and they don't know what it... So I think he has said someone has already physically actually done this. It's not just a theory that they think they can get there, that someone has flirted with this number, which is crazy times.
It's totally crazy.
I've done it a bunch of times.
But is this like a long driver in golf? There are some guys who can hit a golf ball further than anyone that are not professional golf players.
So the bigger argument or the bigger explanation is what you're trying to do is... And this is one of the words that Pablo had to research on the fly. I think it's myelination or myelinization. Mm. What you're doing is if you're training correctly, trying to get to the goal of 118 miles per hour, if you do it right, you're teaching your body that it's okay to do this. Mm. That you're teaching your body, and they got into like you're creating wraps around fibers and neurons. Like it got really scientific along the way, but you're conditioning your body that you can do this, and your body will figure it out and create this system that you hope is repetitive, almost like mindlessly, mm-hmm. and it will let you do it, that you're almost talking your body into getting there.
Amazing. I have one thing. I was reading a story about this. Do you think of Tom House more as a baseball guy or as a football guy, as a coach, not as a player?
So I know him primarily as a baseball guy who part of his regimen, he has baseball pitchers throw footballs. Like that was always a thing. It's like one of his things was you should throw a football as a baseball player because that's good strengthening for your arm. In this interview, I either never knew or forgot, but he rebuilt Drew Brees after his shoulder injury.
I think of him... And it's not Breeze. He's the guy who turned Tom Brady into Tom Brady.
So that comes up too. And it was Matt Cassel that brought Brady in. That he was already working with Matt Cassel. And he said, hey, could I bring Tom Brady by?
He's a USC, right?
And Tom House was like, you can bring Tom Brady by. And then he said Brady was, everything we already know about Brady, he experienced.
Brady was already good when he got there.
Yeah, but like was doing things technically wrong.
Right.
But like he said Tom told him one time that he had 17 spiral notebooks full of notes that he had taken with his time in Tom House. With Tom House.
Yep.
That he was an insane student. You had to pay every throw mattered. He said Tom used to mess up on purpose to see if Tom House was paying attention. So he would see it and give him feedback. Like he was testing Tom House to make sure he was giving the right commitment that Brady was giving.
Couple of psychos.
Yes.
Yeah,
100%.
Absolutely. I mean, and Tom Brady, I think his arm did it. Drastically improving the NFL. All quarterbacks do, by the way. That's one thing. We're talking about Shador's arm strength. I got to tell you, there's not... Name a quarterback whose arm didn't get stronger in the NFL, but you go there. First of all, you get coaches like Jordan Palmer, who I think actually knows House well, too. All these guys teach you how to throw, then you throw a million times every day. So that's funny because, you know, I always talk about Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's arm exploded when he got in the NFL. I know you don't think of him as a strong arm quarterback. I think he worked with House, too, at some point. All these guys have been in there. These guys make a difference. You get to the NFL. So that's why arm strength in the draft is a silly topic a lot of times. It never really works out. And by the way, your guy, Zach Wilson, that's killer arm strength. And
works out great for us.
Yeah. I'm sure he could throw the ball 118 miles an hour. All right, we got to get to some headlines. Gordon Damer, who we've already labeled the Tom Brady of our show.
I'll take it. That's a win for me.
Yes.
Heading into the weekend.
TB12, GD12, it's all the same thing.
Absolutely.
Give us some advice.
I don't know that that's true. Second round of the Masters already underway this morning. First round leader Justin Rose already out there, picking right up where he left off yesterday. 1 under through 2 today, so now 8 under for the tournament. That's good for a 4-shot lead. He has led at the Masters before, never has won a green jacket in his career. Scottie Scheffler has. He's the defending champ. He comes into the day tied with two others at 4 under. And you might think, well, how important can the opening round be, right? Last 19 winners all were inside the top 11 in the opening round.
Mm.
NBA last night, Anthony Edwards with a night 44 to lead the T-Wolves, 141-125 win over the Grizzlies. Those two teams trying to avoid the play-in. Ja Morant had 36, also unveiled his new three-point celebration, tossing an imaginary hand grenade. You might remember he was fined $75,000 for an imaginary gun celebration earlier this season. He said that this is his new celebration until someone has a problem with it, and if they do, he'll come up with another one.
I mean, challenge accepted. Like, let's get him to make another one.
Oh, I know.
I need to see number three.
You go from a gun to a hand grenade. You're going to have a rocket launcher
like
on
a bazooka?
Shoulder?
Yeah.
I was thinking cool. of, like, the old Wile E. Coyote Acme detonator where you put the plunger
TNT?
Down. Yeah, TNT.
Or an anvil drops on his head.
Maybe he modernizes and pretends he's on a computer sending a drone somewhere.
That's really inside. That's a next level right there.
Well, I mean, if you go from gun to grenade, you're stepping up your level of destruction.
Absolutely.
This, I mean, are these big threes that he's hitting? Are these impactful threes or just like second quarter?
In the third quarter, 5 minutes left, third quarter.
Yeah, I think he was like 5 of 16 from three, so it wasn't like a monster night. I'll have to check on that.
He took 16 threes?
I'm not sure. I'll have to check on that. It is early in the morning. I'm not used to these hours.
I mean, a game winner. Can you imagine what he's going to do that? It's going to be nuclear bomb thing.
Maybe it was the type of thing where he came up with it. He thought it was so good. I got to take a lot of threes so I can work this in.
God, Ja Morant. Can Ja Morant just play basketball?
Speaking of playing basketball, Pistons in their season series against the Knicks took 3 of 4, including last night, 115-106. That, of course, could very well be a first-round playoff matchup.
Knicks
and how about Cade Cunningham? He had 36 to go along with 8 assists last night. So not a bad night for Cade Cunningham as he gets ready, maybe.
Seems like it'd be a problem for the Knicks.
Could be. I mean, certainly was last night.
I mean, he's a problem in general. But, yeah, the Knicks couldn't contain him yesterday. But it's, you know, another four dudes on the court at the same time as Cade Cunningham.
Right.
No, he's not a problem for the Sixers because they're not playing.
And don't look now, but the Pacers creeping up on the Knicks for that third playoff spot.
Oh, I'll look
now. Yeah. Pacers wrap up home court for the first round for sure. They beat the Cavaliers 114-112.
Can they catch him?
They can. They're one game back, two to go.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Knicks can fall as low as fourth.
Well,
I should be okay with, to be honest.
Listen, at least you gave away all your first-round picks for Mikal Bridges.
And at least you guys have Paul George.
You have Paul George and 30 wins, bro. Like, you can't tell me anything. You're a franchise player.
You can't hurt me.
Knee replacement surgery. I mean, there's nothing you can tell me.
You know, I saw our friend Ricky Ricardo the other day. He, of course, does a Spanish language broadcast for the Yankees and the Spanish language broadcast for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Las Águilas.
And he said he's going to come in next week and show us a new Super Bowl ring. So, therefore, you guys can't talk to me because I got a championship in football. And that is why I am the sports king right now at the Maggie and Perloff show.
But I have nothing, so you guys can talk to me apparently all you want.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Maggie's close, you know, with the Bills. She could kind of step on you guys with your Jets fandom. But I'd say right now, I don't care if the Sixers are bad.
This is a basketball conversation. Football, you're right. I always big up the Eagles. But basketball, the Sixers are an embarrassment.
Gordon, who's winning this argument?
Clearly you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're sitting closer to me, so that's how I judge
his name's on the show. So
yeah, that's another one, right? And speaking of football,
and I call him Tom Brady, by the way.
Yeah. Looks like, come on, compliments go with compliment. 2023 Joe Flacco comeback player of the year. That's when he was playing for the Browns. He'll be back playing in Cleveland, signing a 1-year deal, $4 million. He'll battle Kenny Pickett for the starting job, assuming the Browns don't go with a quarterback at number two.
Thank you, Gordon. All right, coming up, we have one of the weirdest NBA stories, and a superstar says something, Bogues, but we have to translate this out of Serbian and into English.
Oh, good.
What does Joker really think about them firing the coach in Denver? That's next, Maggie and Perloff show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Bogus sitting in for Maggie. We had a debate earlier, a debate that we've had many times in the past. What is the best month in sports? Bogus, you said this week is pretty much your favorite.
Love it. Love it, love it. For everything it means, everything we actually get, I love it.
So I put up a poll. We put up a poll, Maggie and Perloff on X. Start of fall versus start of spring. 60% goes start of fall. Well, I mean, come on. Football season. What is wrong with you guys? Football. It's football.
Yeah, I'm not one of these mindless guys that just, football's the best. Football's number one.
But also, September is the greatest month. The leaves are starting to turn. It's still warm out. You still have baseball playoffs. Everything is awesome in September.
September weather, better than April weather, yes. But again, but you know it's ending soon.
And the good thing about early season football, while it might be sloppy, your team is still alive. There's still hope.
Incorrect as well.
Yeah, you're talking just the Giants fans, sir.
Okay, maybe that's behind what we're talking about.
Giants also, haven't seen October since 2000.
College football, just killing from 12 noon Eastern until 1 a.m. Eastern. Watching football, there is.
I gotta be honest.
What's better than that?
Well, what I like is that I'm not browbeaten into watching 13 hours of college football.
But you can jump in whenever you want during that whole time.
Nothing.
It is it okay? All right, real quick. I still don't understand why the Nuggets fired Mike Malone. I don't think anyone does. I've been seeing a lot of reporting that the same thing happened in Memphis. The owners were worried that Malone was going to lead the Nuggets on a deep playoff run, and then you couldn't fire him. Do you realize how insane that is, Andrew Bogus?
So, yes, I do, but there is a little bit of logic buried in there that if you're going to fire him after the season, erase all scenarios where you that would create you or would keep you from firing him. Like that does make a tiny little bit of sense to me. Like if you've decided that he's going to be gone and apparently they did in Denver, then fire him now so he doesn't win his job back. And then you are in the same scenario next season, possibly.
It doesn't make sense. Isn't the whole goal to win? Anyway, the other thing, do you consult your superstar when you fire the coach? Apparently, in Denver, they did not consult Nikola Jokic. Let's hear from the Joker.
I knew a little bit before everybody, and he made me, people made, like, we made a decision, so it wasn't a discussion. It was a decision, and, you know, he told me why, and so I listened and I accepted. You know, I'm not going to tell what he told me. I'm going to keep that private.
To me, that does not sound like a happy superstar.
I don't know what that sounds like.
Okay.
Like, to be honest, I listened to this. There's just, like, 6 minutes of him post-game from two nights ago.
No.
And he's not an emotional guy.
Yeah, I need to go home.
And then because English is not his first language, I don't know if that's a part of this, if things are getting lost in translation, so to speak. But I heard like nothing in there, which makes me think that he's not necessarily heartbroken that Mike Mullen's gone.
Yeah, but I don't think he has a future title in Denver necessarily, because they won the championship and then the team said, we're going to reduce payroll. And I hate to say it, you're seeing the results now. They have no depth, it seems like. You have the best player on the planet, and you're not all about maximizing that? That seems wrong.
Yeah, Calvin Booth got it right a couple years ago in their title run, and he has not made smart decisions yet. But it's
money, right? I mean, isn't that the reason that he's not made? If he could pay up for keep some of these guys, wouldn't he be okay?
Well, also, too, then I guess part of the issue was guys that he drafted that he thought should play, Michael Malone wasn't playing. And so maybe like that Jalen Pickett dude would have been more, where, you know, it would have made Calvin Booth look better had Michael Malone played him. Because part of this dynamic apparently was over Russell Westbrook getting too much playing time and too much forgiveness and too much leniency and too much support from Michael Malone that it was pissing off the players and the front office.
Absolutely. EJ, do you think Joker will be a Nugget long term?
No, because most guys aren't on their teams long term. So I would say quickly no. I guess the only thing I would hold on to for hope, if you're a Nuggets fan, is he is the best player in the NBA, and I've seen him overcome things before, right? Like Murray missing an entire season with an ACL, and he still wins MVP. Mm-hmm. He still takes them to the playoffs. So him being so special could mean that they salvage this thing this season, and maybe they do find a way to win a series or two. It just seems like they've really put themselves behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I don't think this is going anywhere good, and I do not like the trend of firing guys late in the season. It's just stupid. All right, we have a big weekend ahead, because I know everyone here is rooting for my Masters bets.
Can't stress that plural enough.
Breakfast.
I took a philosophy. I picked actually 13 guys who I put a little bit of money in for them to win it all. If some of these guys get hot today, then we might be getting breakfast. And I mean really hot, like all-time rounds. Because Wyndham Clark's already at +6. So
Daddy needs a 59.
Yeah. You know, Minwoo Lee's looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Highest score wins, right?
Yes. Joaquin Neiman is looking good, so I could win there. Victor Hovland has a chance. Robert McIntyre, I can't even cash out. I guess he had a bad day. Lucas Glover, I'm not sure he's playing. It got lost somewhere in the seventh hole. So
R.I.P.
I promise, though, if one of these 13 players hits, we are going to have many, many bagels on Monday morning. And Maggie's back. I'm sure many of you are excited about that.
From where?
I'm not telling you.
Uzbekistan.
Maybe we will fix the chair situation.
Oh, we did fix it.
All right. A big thanks to you, Andrew Bogus, for filling in. Manny Rodriguez, EJ Stewart, Andrew Kaplan. Enjoy the Masters this weekend, and join us on Monday with Maggie Gray.
You Flacco.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday early access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run. Everything baseball, all season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.